time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody should get information on the Packers every day of the year from Jason Wilde. I know how to do it. Even if you don't catch a certain show, you go to WisconsinOnDemand.com. They have the box that says Jason Wilde. You hit it, and then you just listen to everything he says. And at some point you go, is he on every show on that station or those stations? Not everyone, but close. Good afternoon, Jason.
Well, you don't have to listen to all of them. You can just pick and choose which ones you want to listen to, right?
I've never asked you to rank your performances on various shows, but...
Well, clearly, the Homer Hour is number one.
Yes. Every show he's on, when asked, it's number one.
No, that's not true. I've been with you the longest, and plus... I only talk to you on Wednesdays. The other times you just abdicate your responsibility and pawn me off on John Anderson and Brian Belaga.
Yes, I do. I love listening, and I love wanting to know what they're going to ask and what they'd be curious about. But, like, I get to do that now because I don't really have that much fascination on the new head coach of the Bears, but maybe I should. Everything is important only as it relates to the Green Bay Packers, and this clearly does, but... No one can know for sure how he's going to be as a head coach. I just assume Caleb Williams will be better. Your thought.
Right. That's why they hired him.
I think so, yeah.
Of all the things that a head coach has to do, and there's many, the biggest one for them is that he's the right guy to make Caleb Williams a really, really good quarterback. That's their hope. And you look at Mike Holmgren with Brett Favre, right? Mike McCarthy with Aaron Rodgers. Belichick with Brady. Like, all the best coaches, miraculously, somehow, have great quarterbacks. Going back to Lombardi and Starr. I mean, you know, he's the one who realized that Starr had inside of him what he had, right? And so, to me anyway, this is Ben Johnson. Is he going to be a good head coach? Is he going to be a good, you know, in-game decision maker? Is he going to manage the clock well? Is he going to use his timeouts well? Is he going to be smart about his challenges? I don't know. Probably. But the most important thing is that he gets Caleb Williams to play at the apex of his ability. And I was just reading a tweet from someone, Kyle, I think his name is. Saying what a devoted listener he is to the show, and we appreciate everyone who listens to Wilde and Tausch, which is three times longer than the Homer Hour. But, you know, he said, why do you guys always talk about the Bears when they do something? Well, you just said it. It's everything is important as it relates to the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, whether it was our conversation this morning about Jaden Daniels, I don't really care about Jaden Daniels. What I care about is, how is his play influencing how we view Jordan Love's play? Because you want to say, oh, well, you just look at Jordan Love based on his own play. You're not comparing and contrasting. But you know you are, right? Like, you know you are. Because
if he's special, then you got one more team that you got to deal with in the NFC. And it's possible he could be that good. Not guaranteed, but right now. Just like, imagine how all the teams felt when Brett Favre became Brett Favre. They're like, oh, my God, we got to deal with the Packers.
Right, and Holmgren was hired in part because, I mean, they didn't have Favre yet. They hadn't acquired him. They hired Holmgren first, but because he was the hot offensive coordinator who had been, you know, the right-hand man to Bill Walsh, and who was the young guy. I mean, he was, what, 43 maybe when the Packers
and had
him?
Been impressive in working with Montana.
Right, and young. And so I would argue that, you know, the reason why it matters to Packers fans is because if he's the guy that unlocks what clearly the previous staff couldn't in Caleb Williams' first year, then the Bears are going to be a problem, right? And so, and by comparison, you know, and I've been saying this now since the season ended, like, I just think this is such a critical offseason because the feeling about this team, and I don't want to base things on vibe, right? You want to base it on fact and film and the thoughts of people that know the game and know this team, like, you know, the coaches and the scouts and players, et cetera. But, like, the vibe is just completely different. Like, I know there are still the Jordan Love loyalists that just believe he's the next, you know, he's been, you know, anointed as the next Hall of Fame Packers quarterback, and maybe he will turn out to be that. But there's been a lot of really good quarterbacks in the NFL that weren't quite good enough to get the Canton. Some of them even won Super Bowls. But to me, this is a pivotal year, a fulcrum season where you say, okay, he's special because he plays brilliantly in 2025, or yeah, he's good. He's okay. You know, you can win a lot. You can win games with him. Are you going to win a title with him? Maybe if all the stars align. So I just think this is a really important year. And when you contrast him with other quarterbacks, whether it's Jaden Daniels or whether it's, you know, next year, if Caleb Williams suddenly in a new system flourishes, you know, I mean, you could go the other direction too, right? Like, look at what Jared Goff did in the Lions lost. Look at what Sam Darnold did in the Vikings lost. Look what Jordan Love did in the Packers loss. And all three of them, you're like, hey, those guys, they didn't elevate their teams and they didn't elevate their games and they all lost. So the quarterback position is important. Obviously, that's stating the obvious, but it's even more important when a team that drafted a guy number one overall who was viewed as this can't-miss prospect, and now you have paired him with the Mike Holmgren of 2025. Because that's what Ben Johnson is. He is the hot commodity offensive coordinator that they are going to – they're hoping and pinning all of Chicago's hopes on him being able to get Caleb Williams to be as good as they've dreamed he's capable of being.
And I was going to ask you, because my question right now is more about LaFleur than Jordan Love, because I'm incapable of understanding how somebody who you've talked about is guys are always open. Now you get this running back that's better than you've ever had, and now guys aren't open? I don't get it. And I assume LaFleur is good enough to address that in the offseason. But that, to me, is a bigger question than Jordan Love, because I don't have an answer as to how the hell it happened.
Yeah, I think the way you asked that is perfect, too. I would love to have the opportunity to sit down with him, and maybe that's how I'll phrase it if I do, which is help me understand how you got guys roaming the countryside wide open in the previous system, and now you add a guy who's even better than Aaron Jones, but you run a different style of run offense and a different scheme. And suddenly now you're saying the Mike McCarthyism of, you know, guys got to win their one-on-ones. Like, that just helped me understand that, because what made Matt LaFleur – I mean, I've told the story plenty of times, but I know not everyone listens every day and not everyone listens to Wisconsin On Demand and clicks the Wildy box.
More each day.
I'll never forget being in the locker room on a Friday – in the 2018 season, and Thursday night football had been Rams Vikings, and the Rams just ran circles around Mike Zimmer's defense, and it was Rodgers, Cobb, Adams, they're all in there and they're all just talking about this offense. Did you see this? You see how open these guys were, this and that. And then, you know, magically, Matt LaFleur appears. And while it took a while for him and Rodgers to figure out, you know, what their, you know, consortium of an offense was going to look like, you saw it right away. Like, I said it to LaFleur when we were doing his press conference at the end of the season last Tuesday, where I was just like, you know, I just feel like you got here. And all of us were talking to each other, oh, my God. There's people wide open all the time. Like, you would watch the game, you'd watch the TV copy of the games, and there'd be moments, you know, you don't notice this when you're up in the press box and you're seeing the whole field, but there'd be moments that if you're watching it on TV, the only person in the TV framework was the wide open receiver. Like, there wasn't a defender to be found. That's how open guys were. And I don't think that that was the case this year. And I'm not saying that that happened on every single play from 2019 through, you know, 2021. But one of the things about having a young quarterback and one that sometimes struggles with inaccuracy, which is, I think, a fair critique of Jordan, is that when you have guys wide open, you don't have to put it on them quite as with as quite as much precision. And when I, you know, when I look at Jared Goff, one of the things that he is, he's got plenty of shortcomings, but he is really accurate with the football. And I don't know where Caleb Williams will be on that scale. And I don't know how wide open guys will be in Ben Johnson's Bears offense compared to the Lions offense. But if Caleb Williams is accurate, they're going to be scary. And so we'll have to wait and see, because I have not watched enough of the non-Packers Caleb Williams games to speak intelligently to his strengths and weaknesses.
As far as what Ben Johnson said, I know he made a comment about LaFleur, and I actually took it as that tells me he has a lot of respect for LaFleur and really enjoyed beating him. But I don't know that everybody else heard it the same way. I thought that's one of the best things somebody said about LaFleur in recent times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to say that he enjoyed it was, I don't know. I just wants to let
Bears fans that he likes beating the Packers. I don't know. Maybe. What's
right.
He didn't have to say it.
That's exactly right. And, you know, look, I was saying this earlier. I can't remember who I said it to, but, like, he was being a politician, right? Like, he was being the guy who says the things that his base really wants to hear. And Bears fans want to hear you talk some, you know what, about the Packers in some way. Now, it worked for Lovie Smith.
Yeah, he did. He was strong.
He came in and said, our number
we're
one priority.
We're going to beat the Pack.
Right. It wasn't, we're going to win a Super Bowl or we're going to get to the Super Bowl. Although they did do that then in 2006. But yeah, his credo was, you know, our number one priority is to beat the Packers. Because, and then he went on to explain, which it never gets talked about, is if we beat them, we're going to be in position to win the division. And if we win the division, it's going to give us a better chance of getting to where we want to go and win a championship. Now, they let people forget, like, the Bears did go to a Super Bowl with Lovie Smith, and I think with Rex Grossman
yes.
as the starting quarterback.
Yep, that's correct.
So,
yeah.
Like, you know, the Bears, if we're being honest, they fire Lovie after he went 10-6. In 2012, and they have been not very good ever since.
No, they messed up. That was a bad decision.
Right, and now, and they've made subsequent bad decisions. Like, I don't know Matt Eberflus at all, but it didn't seem like that was a good hire from the beginning. And then, obviously, you get the first overall pick. You know you're going to draft this generational talent, or at least so he's been advertised. Just start over then. Like, instead of what they've done. So the reason, again, to go back to, I think, Kyle's tweet earlier, this is why this is significant, because as listeners to our stations well know, I am very much wanting the Bears to be relevant and good enough that you don't know who's going to win. I understand they
didn't win
the game.
Yeah, that's your worst opinion ever in your entire life. You've never had an opinion as bad as that.
It's not an opinion. It's what I want.
I know, but you
do.
Jason, you want the Packers to win. The more the Packers win and dominate, your job is easier. Your job is more fun. People are happy. People want to know more and more, not about losing players, but about winning players. Your job is way better if the Packers win and the Bears suck than if the Bears are better and the Packers aren't as good, right?
Well, can't they both be good?
No, the better the Bears get, the harder it's going to be for the Packers to be good, right? They're in the division.
Not necessarily.
All right.
Like, don't you think that it was fun when, you know, when there were quarterback rivalries? Like, who was Aaron Rodgers' rival?
You know what's fun is
Matthew
whooping
Stafford?
Everybody. Fun is whooping everybody. Fun is people going, can you explain Aaron Rodgers? I think he maybe plays that position better than
he was. No, what's fun is winning Super Bowls. And winning a lot of games is fun.
Yes.
But ultimately, if you listen to every season-ending show that Tausch and I have had when the Packers have lost. There's nothing fun about that.
All right, is
right?
It easier or harder to win the Super Bowl? Hold on. Is it easier or harder to win the Super Bowl if the Bears are good?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
It doesn't matter?
It doesn't. The Packers.
You played two games against them. If Caleb Williams is a really good quarterback and the Bears are good, it's going to be harder for the Packers to achieve whatever it is they want to achieve. You want all the teams in the division to stink to make your life easier.
The Packers, each of the last 2 years, the Packers have made the playoffs as the seventh seed.
Correct.
Do you think, after what you saw the Commanders do, because this is irrelevant of whether the Bears are good or not, the Packers split with the Bears. They still finished 11-6, and they lost. They went 0-2 against each of the other two teams in the division. They finished 11-6. If they don't shoot themselves in the foot with four turnovers, their defense plays well enough. They could have, and maybe even should have, beaten Philly, who is now playing for a trip to the Super Bowl. So you're telling me that even though they went 0-2 against Minnesota and Detroit, both of whom also lost their first playoff games, and went 1-1 against the Bears, and only won that one game by a fingertip, that you're telling me that the Packers couldn't have gone to the Super Bowl this year despite that record in the division?
No, I'm saying
totally could have.
Their chances are better because the Bears stink. If the Bears were good like they want to be, they could have beaten the Packers twice. Packers might not even have made the playoffs.
They beat them once anyway. They beat them once anyway.
Again.
And they're terrible.
Again, you know that was a fluke. Right?
Right, but what I'm saying is it didn't prevent them from making the playoffs. And once you get in, the only way that the Bears being good is a problem is if you then meet them in the playoffs, like you did in the NFC title game in 2010, and then they still beat them anyway. Like, ultimately, all that really matters is that you get in. And four teams are not going to get in. And the Packers were a quarter away and a knuckleheaded across his body late over the middle in a triple coverage Jordan Love interception from beating the 49ers on the road and being in the NFC championship game last year. I think if they don't, first of all, if they call the helmet hit, the Packers were not the better team when they lost to the Eagles 2 Sundays ago. I totally get that. But like the chasm between them and the Lions, as we saw in the December 5th game, was not big. They had obviously continued to lose defensive players the Lions had. Like, the fact that if you just get in, and obviously you want to have home games and all that other stuff, but I don't think the Bears being competitive and good and there being a Love versus Williams rivalry significantly decreases the Packers' chances of winning a Super Bowl. I just don't think it does.
Okay.
Maybe it even gets them more prepared for the postseason because they play some tight nip-and-tuck games. Because Lord knows when they played good teams this year, it didn't do anything to prepare them for a playoff game because then they went out and played some even worse than they had in some of the other losses they'd had against those good teams.
I tried and I failed. Thanks, Jason.
You did. All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. You go to Jason, WisconsinOnDemand.com. Hit the button that says Jason Wilde. Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker, HR, and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into the Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find the Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Holtebeck Eye Center, I've been there. He gets it, Dr. Aaron Holtebeck. I want to take care of every vision problem for people at whatever the age. Met as he and his team recently. They have a top priority with the latest technologies at their state-of-the-art office. Dr. Holtebeck has been helping local patients with their eye care needs for over 20 years, but said, this isn't good enough. We got to be better. So Dr. Holtebeck recently added to his team the addition of Dr. Nausheen Abbas. They can handle everything, whatever the age, whatever the vision care needed. Don't mess with your vision. Trust the experts from Holtebeck Eye Center in Brookfield near the corner of Calhoun and Capitol. Learn more about their services at Holtebeck.com. Tim Van Voren is not next. He's soon. Next, we'll be figuring out the question, Discount Liquor Twitter poll question, addressing what Jason and I talked about. the Bears being better makes it harder on the Packers. But I couldn't get Jason to join that club. Next.